The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, good Wednesday, December 15th, everyone. Welcome into Morning Invest. I'm Clayton Morris, your humble host. Thank you so much for joining me. I am your humble host along with this guy, Grover. He is down by the heater today because he is ready for a big, big show. He is tuckered out from all of the breaking news. There is breaking news on the stimulus front. Some massive news, some bombshell news on the stimulus front. Breaking just moments ago. We're still waiting on the full details of it, but we will bring you this latest news in mere moments. And guess what? It's good news. So we will bring that to you in moments. Also, we're going to be talking about when and if the Federal Reserve might take over and inject their two cents into this. They're going to be speaking this week, of course, the big Fed meeting. This will be the sort of final look at the year, the outlook of the economy, and whether or not this new Fed currency is going to move more quickly. So we could all be answering to the King Fed, centralized bank from now on, taking over our entire currency. Will it happen? And will we start to get a $2,000 per month universal basic income from the Federal Reserve? There's a number of different economists pushing for that. And we've been hearing from different board members that there might be some regular stimulus that they would love to explore using a digital currency. All of that, plus Medicare for All. The battle over Medicare for All is heating up. Jimmy Dore taking this thing to the mat. Congress is responding. Now members of Congress are getting on board with trying to call a floor vote for Medicare for All. Will Nancy Pelosi do it? Will members of Congress have a spine in their back and actually make this happen? We'll be talking about all of that and more on today's show. David is in the control booth. He was gone yesterday because of a massive internet outage.
Yeah.
You felt like a caveman yesterday.
I missed two of my shows.
Just a simple caveman. Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't. Oh, I wasn't even done in time to do live streaming pros, so.
Oh, man.
I had a forced day off.
Bad news.
Not really.
Grover missed you. We all missed you.
I still
you.
Worked, just to be clear.
Just by candlelight. No internet.
Yeah, candlelight and hammer and nail.
Caveman days. Okay. So before we get to the stimulus news, I want to tell you about today's sponsor. Please support our sponsors, folks. They reach out and they are, you know, this is why we're able to do the show, and we're able to do such a great show here is because of our sponsorships and the folks that take care of us here. And our friends over at stamps.com are sponsoring today's show. Postage on demand, all done right from your desk at home. You know, you do not want to be waiting right now in a line at the post office during a pandemic, during Christmas, and during a massive snowstorm, which is bearing down on the East Coast. So you can do this all right from your home. And here's the beauty of it. Right now, if you use the coupon code INVEST, that's our coupon code, and you go to stamps.com, you get a free digital scale sent right to your house. So you can, you know, you don't ever have to worry about the size or weight of your package again. And they're going to give you 4-week trial plus free postage. So they're going to help you send packages this Christmas for free and give you a free scale and a 4-week free trial, all for using that coupon code INVEST. So just go to their website, and at the top of the page, there's a little microphone. Click on that microphone and see this little microphone right here? Click on it right at the top of the screen, and then use the word INVEST, and you will get a free scale and free shipping 24/7, any letter, any package, any class of mail. And you get 5 cents off every stamp you buy and 40% off priority mail. So you're saving money when you sign up with them. Like if you do this regularly, or if you don't, you could just use it for the holidays and save a bunch of money. So thank you to stamps.com for their support of the show. Okay, well, we do have breaking news this morning on the stimulus front. I had a whole show prepared. I had a whole show prepared with where we were in the negotiations. We knew that Nancy Pelosi worked with Mitch McConnell late into the evening last night, and there were positive signs. They were staying up late. They are getting close to this entire thing. They're moving quickly with hopes of passing a sweeping relief bill. And then, wow, a monkey wrench gets tossed into the mix. An actual monkey wrench. And you know who threw this monkey wrench? It was Bernie Sanders. He took a monkey wrench and he threw it right into these negotiations. What is that monkey wrench? He had been saying, we will not vote for a bill that does not have direct stimulus checks involved. And guess what? Bernie got his way. That's right. It appears at this hour, according to the breaking news, and we'll have more as this unfolds. Let me just bring up the latest tweet here. This is from Jake Sherman over at Politico. Breaking. Hill negotiators are on the brink of a $900 billion coronavirus rescue package that would include a new round of direct payments, but would leave out state and local aid and that liability shield. A deal could come as early as this morning. This is huge. I mean, I can't underscore this enough. I mean, think about what Bernie and Josh Hawley were able to do. They're basically saying, we are not going to allow the government to put a bill on the table. We are not going to vote for the continuing resolution to keep the government open unless you pass a stimulus bill that includes direct stimulus checks. Here was Josh Hawley just last night throwing another bomb at these guys.
President, this is a very simple thing that we're talking about, and I can boil it down really easily. If the Senate of the United States can find hundreds of billions of dollars to give to big government and big business, surely it can find some relief for working families and working individuals. And I would just submit to you that it is working families and working people who should be first in line for COVID relief, not last. And that is why the amendment that Senator Sanders and I have proposed is so common sense. $1,200 for individuals, $2,400 for families, $500 for every child. And as Senator Sanders rightly says, every member of this body has voted yes in favor of this relief before. What's more, I can't figure out who exactly is opposed to it.
The president is for it. Nancy Pelosi's been for it. Mitch McConnell's been for it. Why was this such a friggin' sticking point? You can't get $1,200 out to people? So, where are we right now? The idea was $1,200 per person, up to $2,400 for couples, right? That's the $2,400 price tag. Well, here's where we are in the negotiations right now, because according to Politico and Jake Sherman and Burgess Everett, who've been doing excellent reporting on this, congressional negotiators are right now on the brink of a coronavirus rescue package that would include a second round of direct payments, but would likely leave out state and local funding and a liability shield. The price tag of the emerging deal is $900 billion, and a deal could be finalized as early as this morning. So we could have this bill during the show. The direct checks will likely be far less, though, than the $1,200 per person. So I know I heard a collective sigh among all of you right now. So the $1,200 that we were hoping for might not happen. Again, we don't know yet. We don't know yet, but it might be in something closer to what the White House, President Trump, has wanted, which is $600 per person for maybe a total of $1,200 per couple. President Trump has been keen on sending out checks to Americans and has backing from liberals like Bernie Sanders and Josh Hawley. So this will be interesting. If it's less than $1,200 per person, will Bernie Sanders and Josh Hawley still bring their separate bill to the floor? Or, I mean, will they be a spoiler here? You know, will they vote for it if it's less than what they want? I guess, you know, in negotiation, the argument is you never get everything you want, right? You're going to have to give and take. There has to be a back and forth in this process. You're dealing with Mitch McConnell and Republicans that want big corporate bailouts. They don't really give a rat's behind about the workers. So if they're conceding this additional amount of money, do you just take it? Or do you then also bring a separate vote to the floor like you promised? The negotiations are moving rapidly right now. Two of the most contentious items, of course, are these, you know, funding for state and local governments. You know, Aisha Cabrera here on the screen says $600 wouldn't, you know, buy me groceries. It will buy 1 month's groceries and it will pay the light bill. That's it. I know it's not much. Like, this is what we're arguing over. But it goes to show you the power of actually standing there and saying, we are not going to go home and we are not going to vote for a bill unless there's direct stimulus payments. So do we take what we've got here? So this breaking news, again, this is just coming in. We're getting scant details and I'll have more for you as the show unfolds. Warren Buffett, you had a number of big business leaders coming out yesterday demanding stimulus. Warren Buffett, the Oracle of Omaha, most successful investors of all time. The legend came out and had this to say about getting stimulus now.
The Fed did a terrific job. They saved us from something that would have been a lot worse than 2008 and 2009 when they acted in March. So large companies who in the middle of March, early March, were going to have no access to capital. The market just opened wide, and the corporate issuance was huge. But the small businesses receive some help, but it's not getting them to the end of the tunnel. And you know, you see a situation. Just take food. Food manufacturers, the big ones, have done terrifically. People haven't quit eating. You know, and the large grocery chains have done very well. You know, margins of wine sales have been good. But if you had to get your food in a small restaurant or medium-sized restaurant and social distancing was required and everything, you just killed the economics for somebody that may have been working for decades with their family to build a business and reinvested the earnings in improving their establishment, and then through no fault of their own, an edict comes along that kills all their dreams. And it would be so foolish to not follow through on this and enable those people to get back to where they could do the kind of business they were doing before.
He calls it an economic war. He says he calls the situation facing mom and pops right now, these small businesses, as collateral damage in a war that our country needed to fight. And he's calling on Congress to extend the Paycheck Protection Program on a large scale. $525 billion government program, of course, that helped people stay on the payroll back in March and April. Likely it's not going to be anywhere near that in this new bill. So if you're just joining us on the stimulus front, we have breaking news on the stimulus front, and this is just developing as we started the show this morning. And according to reporting from Politico, Jake Sherman and Burgess Everett over there, Hill negotiators are on the brink of a $900 billion coronavirus rescue package that would include a new round of direct payments. It would leave out state and local money, though, and that liability shield. So removing that $160 billion out of that, sticking in direct stimulus payments, that means that Bernie Sanders and Josh Hawley won this battle. They actually moved the needle on this. You know, there were a lot of people who, you know, I'm sure a lot of cynics watching that says, we're not going to get checks. We're not going to get checks. No one's going to listen to Bernie. But when he actually has the leverage to not vote on an omnibus spending bill and then the government would shut down, leaders have to pay attention to that kind of leverage. So it turns out that kind of power exists in the Senate. Now, my big question is, how much will these stimulus checks be? According to reports from Politico again, it might not be the $1,200. It might be less, might be considerably less. And it might be something closer to what President Trump has wanted, which is $600 per person. We don't know yet. So we're still waiting on a framing of this proposal. Again, Jake Sherman saying we could see this as early as this morning. and we will have the details on that. Meanwhile, we're also learning about Americans and how many of their paychecks are just running down as this aid is dwindling. Americans' cash cushions have been declining for months, especially among low-income households. Of course, we know how desperate so many people are right now. And as we've talked about here on the show, I mean, look at this. The median household checking account balance surged by 65% after these stimulus checks. And now it's plummeted and been steadily declining since May. We know, as we've been reporting on the show, how many people are having to steal basic items from stores, food, diapers, baby formula. Grocery stores are reporting an uptick in those types of items being stolen. Not flat screen televisions. They're stealing food. And this Congress can't get $1,200 checks out. They're going to skimp on that. But here's what else is in this. We're also, of the 525 pages of this draft legislation, some pieces of it have already leaked out. And if this doesn't outrage you, your head is not screwed on right. Stimulus bill bails out defense contractors. And now we need to change this headline because it says denies direct payments to families. This reporting overnight. So, yes, it still bails out defense contractors, but now we might get smaller direct payments to families. It grants military contractors benefits that are being denied to workers and small businesses across the country. So what it's doing is it's giving a large group of government contractors money to not work, even as these contractors rack up big profits during the pandemic. So these big contractors have been making a ton of money on the backs of you. It would be the provision was added to the last page of the bill after defense contractors sent a letter to congressional lawmakers lobbying for the language. The same bill does not authorize direct payments to millions of Americans yet. So this is slightly older reporting now overnight. Nor does it reimburse small businesses for providing paid leave benefits to their workers. That's a huge sticking point. So paid leave to workers is being handed out to defense contractors for taking an idle job right now while they can't build their bombs. But you, as an American who's not tied to the defense contracting force, don't get the same benefits. Joe Manchin, Democrat of West Virginia, says this is about need and not greed. He says the new direct payments to families is a bad idea.
Wait, he says you said this Democrat? With a
straight face. Yeah. Shocking, isn't it?
I thought the Democrats had our best interests at heart.
Yeah, that's the line they spin you. Although, in Joe Manchin's defense, he has always been a thorn in the side of progressive issues and Republicans. He boasted the other night how he's the most centrist member of Congress. He said, I don't agree with Democrats and I don't agree with Republicans. Yeah, tell that to your people back in West Virginia. By the way, I lived in West Virginia for a number of years. I lived in Bluefield, West Virginia. I lived adjacent to one of the poorest counties in America. So bad that when there was a flood that they had on a hillside that hurt part of the school, like fifth and sixth graders had to go to school with first and second graders. Who do you think got shortchanged in that education? No fresh food. Grocery stores are crap. Can't get fresh vegetables. That's his state of West Virginia. I love the people of West Virginia. And I'm just wondering, how out of touch do you have to be if you're a senator from West Virginia, adjacent to a few of the poorest counties in America in southern West Virginia and next to Kentucky, where you think that sending direct stimulus checks to Americans to help them during this pandemic is a bad idea. So this defense contractor thing just stuns me. It includes an extension of a program to replace the wages of certain government contractors who miss work due to COVID-19. The program allows federal agencies to reimburse contractors who are unable to work in person due to the pandemic and whose jobs do not allow telework for up to 40 hours per week of lost wages, a full-time coverage. In effect, the program uses government money to reimburse defense contractors for giving paid leave to their employees. On top of the billions that these government contractors already get from you, the taxpayer.
Again, well, yeah, because how much
you're not
of the,
outraged by this, you're not hooked up right.
Well, and how much of the $750 billion that the military just got goes to them anyway?
Exactly. So they're on the one hand, they're getting, you know, Raytheon's getting $40 billion, Boeing's getting whatever, $60 billion, Northrop Grumman gets their $20 billion or whatever. All defense contractors. I'm not even talking about the smaller ones whose names we don't even mention. They just got a huge increase in defense spending.
That was the CARES Act, the people. Oh, no, it wasn't. That wasn't the CARES Act. Sorry.
No, that was just part of their defense bill.
Yeah, the annual defense bill.
They get that every year.
Well, and like we said before, they have to spend that or they don't get it the following year. So why aren't they bailing out their people with that money, you know, if they need it so bad? Not more of our money.
Because, you know, we got to keep these foreign wars going. We can only, you know, as Brian Kilmeade asked President Trump the other day in that Army-Navy game interview. Hey, when you took over, Mr. President, you only had three brigades that were ready to fight. How did you turn things around? Three brigades. One brigade is 5,000 people. You had three of them. 15,000 Americans ready to fight at a moment's notice. Fight who? Fight what? Let's increase your budget by 25% and screw over the American people. Imagine if we took, just imagine for a moment, if we took that same defense budget, even just took $100 billion off of it and funded schools across the country. Imagine how transformative that would be to our education system in the United States. Imagine if we took that money and we put it towards Medicare for all in the United States. Imagine if we did something powerful and gave universal health care to every American, like every other freaking country does in the industrialized world, so that if they lose their job, they are protected during these horrible times of need. And whether or not we, and even if we don't have a pandemic, we should have Medicare for all. So I want to talk about Medicare for all right now. I want to hear your thoughts on this and get your commentary, because there's been a battle brewing over Medicare for all. If you've been watching my show for any length of time, you know that I've been calling for it. I think we absolutely need real health care in this country that echoes what we see across Europe. Gone are the day. Get this idea out of your head, this socialized medicine. All these, you know, conservatives want to throw it around as something that's terrible. But look at how these countries take care of their people. Look at Canada during this pandemic. Look at Europe during this pandemic. Look at Norway. Look at Scandinavian countries during this pandemic. They have a much higher quality of life than we do. Their citizens are taken care of with a form of universal basic income stimulus money through this pandemic. Japan, for instance, subsidizing 100% of lost wages and their healthcare system. When Grover hears this, he gets so pissed, and I don't blame him. He's like, wait a second. You guys take care of me. I don't have to worry about my healthcare coverage when I need to go to the vet, when I need to go get my ears checked and other things. He's taken care of. He has a form of universal basic income because he's a dog. Our dogs are treated better than us in the United States. So there's been a movement that's been growing over the past couple of years. I never thought maybe in the next 15 years I might even see it. A move towards universal basic, universal health care for everyone, Medicare for all, where everyone would have access to this, government funded, and we would all be protected, treating and preventative medicine as well. You know, making sure that we wouldn't have to kick moms out of hospitals like the day after they have a child, because the insurance companies run everything. And guess what? The insurance companies aren't going to pay for you to stay longer than one day in a hospital. But in Europe, Yeah, stay for a week in the finest facilities that take care and handle babies, baby deliveries. Oh, and the dad can as well not be kicked out. Like in New York City, I was kicked out of the hospital. I couldn't stay to see my son overnight. No. Got to go home. And oh, by the way, are you feeling better? Okay, good. You just had a baby. Get out of here. Get out of here. Your insurance won't cover you to stay here another night. You fine? Okay, get out of here.
And how much was it total?
Well, I can't really walk. Yeah, $30,000.
Get the hell out.
Get the hell out. $30,000. Hit the road. Oh, you're having trouble walking? My wife was, because they had to do the epidural and they hit like a nerve in her spine and she couldn't walk. Get out. That's America's healthcare system. So there is a big movement afoot right now to try to push for a Medicare for All floor vote in the House of Representatives. How would they do this? Leverage. And how would they do this? With Nancy Pelosi, who is up for re-election as the Speaker of the House the first week of January. Will Democrats grow a pair and demand that she bring this vote to the floor of the House in order for all of these members of the representatives to go on record, put their name next to a yay or no? I'm voting for it or against it. Will she do it? If she does it, then these representatives say they vote for her. All they need is 15 of these representatives to hold back this nomination of Nancy Pelosi, to force her hand to bring this to the floor. Now, this whole argument, this whole idea started with Jimmy Dore. And you and I are a fan of Jimmy Dore, comedian, progressive, who believes in a lot of the same things that you and I believe in. And he brought this up just like a week ago on his show. And you know, he jokes that I think he plays himself down a little bit too much. He's like, oh, I'm just a comedian in a garage. But as you know, words have power, and an audience, a movement around his audience grew steam and started going after some of the progressives in the House and Congress, demanding that they take action on this, so much so that they started paying attention to it. So I think he talks down at himself, or he's a little self-effacing, but hey, it started a movement. So here's Jimmy Dore the other day on his show calling for members of the House to demand a floor vote on Medicare for All.
To win the House speakership, Pelosi needs to secure the majority of the full House. The House votes the first week of January. This is our leverage. Now is our time. It's our time now. I call upon all elected House members, all the members who ran on Medicare for All, and for all the members who are part of the Progressive Caucus in Congress, all the members of the squad. What we need to do now is we need to work together as a movement. What do we need? We need 15 Democrats. That's all we need. 15 Democrats to tell Nancy Pelosi that you will not vote for her as Speaker unless Medicare for All is put on the House floor for a vote.
Will they grow a pair and do this? So the rumblings among political reporters is that, yes, a lot of these progressives want that to happen. Who will be the person to stick their neck out? Will it be Bernie Sanders calling on the House members to do this? Will it be AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? Will it be any member of the squad to demand that this happens? Get them all together. If you're a squad, hey, call up the super friends, you know? Hey, I'm calling a meeting of the squad. We're going to do a Zoom call. We're all going to get on the same page. Demand a floor vote. Why would this matter? It matters because, yes, there are co-sponsors of bills, right? As we know, co-sponsors, if you've followed Washington any length of time, co-sponsors of bills don't mean crap, because you have co-sponsors of bills all the time, and they get to tie their name to it and say, I was a co-sponsor of this bill. I was a co-sponsor of this bill. But very often, the bills never come to the floor for a vote. So you can sound all high and mighty, like as if you actually accomplished something, but then the vote never actually happened. So it's a good thing. You can always say that on watch Sunday morning television sometime on these news channels and watch them say, you know, I co-sponsored a bill along with this guy. Yeah, did it ever come up for a vote? No. So when a bill actually comes up for a vote, that's when you get to see all the cockroaches run away, right? It's like turning a light on. And all of a sudden, all the co-sponsors of the bill scatter. Because now, all of their lobbyists and all of their special interests are probably calling them, telling them, hey, I know that this is coming up for a vote tomorrow. You better vote against this thing. These insurance companies that, you know, don't want universal basic income, going to get on the phone with you, all of your, you know, these corporate Democrats, the Joe Manchins of the world. Hey, this thing's coming up for a vote tomorrow. You better not vote for this thing.
Well, the thing is, the squad, this actually gives the squad a chance to become relevant where they're marginalized all the rest of the time. You know, this is the one time they have to prove why they're there. Like, why are you there? Show us.
Right. Right. This is the reason we voted for you. Right. This is the reason that AOC won. Because she's able to needle the leadership. She's able to say, look, these are issues that we need in America. We need higher taxes for the rich. We need Medicare for all. We need free public college. Okay, is it all talk, or are you going to actually put it up now? Because to gain relevancy here, the squad can come together with this, and it forces them to do a vote. And then we really get to see who are the true progressives. And who are the, charlatans, the liars, the pretenders, right?
The careerists.
I'm thinking of that like Jackson, the careerists. Yeah. And all the people that pay lip service to this crap. Oh, yeah, I want a Green New Deal. I want Medicare for every American. I want to help schools. Oh, yeah, well, you know what? We're going to vote on schools this week, and we're also going to vote on Medicare for all. Oh, I can't. I've got a thing. Can't be there. Just put me down as a abstain. I'm going to abstain from voting. Won't vote yes and won't vote no. Just put me down as abstain.
Well, I don't know if you saw
their big corporate money rolling in.
I don't know if you saw Crystal Ball, but AOC had a lot of excuses as to why she couldn't do that, and Crystal Ball pretty much just squashed them all. Every excuse that she had do it.
I didn't see Crystal. I love Crystal. I used to interview Crystal on my show all the time. She's great. No, I didn't see what she said, but she's basically for some context on the AOC.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, basically, she's just saying everything, every excuse that AOC is giving that she can't do this is not accurate. She could very well do this.
Well, it's interesting. So she asks see if I have the tweet here. While I'm finding this tweet, can everyone flex your muscles and go smash that like button if you'd be so kind? Just smash that like button and subscribe to our channel if you are new here. Again, if you're just joining us late today, stimulus news is that Congress is about to deliver a $900 billion rescue package. Hopefully, maybe by the end of today's show, we will have a framework for you, and it will include direct stimulus checks. So if you are joining us late, that is a bit of breaking news as we're watching this developing story. So I'm keeping my eye on that while I do other news. I've got one eye on the news and one eye on breaking news. Here was Jake Sherman just a few moments ago. Hill negotiators are on the brink of this coronavirus package. It would leave out state and local aid, but it would have direct round of payments. That means Bernie Sanders and Josh Hawley have a small victory here. They were able to needle Congress in such a way to get them to do this. Okay, I found my tweet. So this all started, I mean, Jimmy Dore started this whole Medicare for All discussion. And then Justin Jackson, who you know from the Chargers, tweets this: if AOC and the squad don't do what Jimmy Dore has suggested and withhold their vote for Pelosi for speakership unless Medicare for All gets brought to the floor for a vote, they will be revealing themselves. Power concedes nothing without a demand. AOC didn't respond to Jimmy Dore, AOC responded to Justin Jackson and said, okay, this doesn't exactly make sense, she says. Problem with this idea is that there isn't enough thought given to step number two. The Dem votes aren't there yet. And with a razor-thin margin, the Dem no's are bigger than the margin. So you issue threats, you hold your vote, and you lose. Then what? If you want to know who's supposed to look at, if you want to know who's opposed, just look at the co-sponsor list, which is what I just said. Co-sponsors don't mean anything. You know, if you're in Congress, if you, you know, you're just a careerist or a corporate elitist in the House, you can just add your name. Yeah, I support. I was a co-sponsor of the Medicare for All bill. Oh, you were? Did you ever vote for it? No, because it never got brought to the floor. Would you have voted for it? Hell no. I just added my name to the co-sponsor list so I could look good. So that argument doesn't hold any water with me. That's her main argument. It's just like, look at the co-sponsor list.
That's politics 101 right there.
Yeah. Brilliant. And then she goes on to say, in contrast, you can use leverage to push for things that can happen and change lives, i.e. a $15 minimum wage vote in the first 100 days. By the way, they already passed that in the House. You've already done that. Elevating, and Mitch McConnell's not going to take it on, elevating longtime progressive champions to important positions of leadership, also doable. That's the opportunity cost to weigh.
And how...
Well, others disagree.
And how long is that going to take to get people in there? You know what I mean? Like, we need stimulus now. We need healthcare now. But let's wait to get progressive people in there to change things.
Yeah, let's wait for another election cycle. In the meantime, you guys have already won. You have some power now. Here's what Chase Robinson says. Wrong, AOC. You need to hold their feet to the fire by holding a vote on Medicare for All and seeing who actually opposes it, because many are virtue signaling and only white lying about actually supporting it. Kamala Harris is a prime example of it. See, what Chase means is, yeah, these people add their names to these co-sponsor lists just so they can virtue signal. And then when it actually comes up to a vote, they don't support it. Kamala Harris, when she was asked to like change her position on a dime, because now she's, you know, vice president-elect, Biden calls her up. It's like, hey, I know, you know, I was a part of that whole Obamacare thing, which was just a big wet kiss to insurance companies. I saw that you're a co-sponsor of a Medicare for All bill. Would you mind, you know, removing your name from that thing? Because we're going to be president and vice president, and we can't be supporting Medicare for All. So what this does is, when you actually bring it to a floor vote, it does a couple of things. Number one, it shines a light on the cockroaches who pay lip service to being progressive. And then that's how we weed those people out. Because now the cockroaches have shown themselves. And if you get these members of the House that don't vote for Medicare for All, even though 87% of Democrats in the United States and almost, I think it's almost 75% of Republicans support Medicare for All, but yet our leadership doesn't. So an overwhelming number of Americans want universal basic health care in this country. How many people watching right now want health care in this country? Taken care of, like other countries take care of its people.
Well, and that's
tell
the
me
thing.
In the chat below.
You're exactly right about the cockroaches, because this, if they're forced to vote no, then that percentage of the American population would see who does not actually work for their constituents. Like that shows that they have a different agenda and they don't care about what we want. And it would be forced, because
exactly.
That is public information.
Well, David, you're right. I mean, think about this for a second. Think about the campaign ads that I could run. I mean, just let's role play for a second. Do you like role playing? How about cosplay? So you put on your Mandalorian outfit and I will put on my Jedi robe. Optimus Prime. See, so you with all your fancy buttons. So I'm a progressive, okay? I'm a progressive and you're a progressive in name only, okay? Now we bring this for a floor vote on the House, Medicare for All. And David, in his Optimus Prime outfit, waddles down there and says, oh, now you're bringing this for a vote. I was a co-sponsor, but now you're going to vote on this? I'm going to vote no. you know, I've got too many big insurance companies that pay my, you know, for me to be here. I can't do that. And then Clayton, on the other hand, you know, he's handsome, number one, right? So he's got that going for him. Then he waddles down and says, oh, we're voting on this? Yes, I'm voting yes for this, Medicare for all. That shines a light on the cockroach, right? Now, when David is running for re-election and there's a real progressive candidate in his district who's going to run against him, he can look right at those voters and say, David voted against Medicare for all.
David
when
Foster
it was up for
voted
a vote,
no.
He voted against it. David Foster voted no.
When it mattered most to the American people.
During a pandemic, David Foster voted no. Do you want David Foster as your member of Congress? No. Vote yes for Clayton. You know, that's how it goes. And that's how it would go. So in this way, we would shine a light on this. So Justin Jackson went back and forth with AOC over this whole thing. You know, here's a member of the Chargers, NFL player, going back and forth with AOC saying, you know, this would shine a light on the people that are not, this would help our platform. And she said, you bring up a good point. Yet, there's no movement on this. Nancy Pelosi gets nominated once again and will be voted as Speaker of the House on the first week of January. And the argument from these weak-kneed liberals is that the idea that, oh, we're going to change her. We'll just vote her in again, and then we'll move her to the left. What is she, 78 years old? You're going to move? That's like trying to teach an old dog new tricks. And by the way, you thought you could do this before, remember? You thought you could change Nancy Pelosi and move her more left before, and it didn't work. And guess what? We lost tons of elections. Progressive candidates actually won.
Well, in this, and talk about the chance to actually push them left. This is the one opportunity to actually do the pushing.
Right. Exactly. You could actually push them in this way, and they could see the light. I mean, what do they have to lose? Imagine a majority of Americans want this. What are they? They think they know better than we do? By the way, all these members of Congress have the type of health care that we're calling for all Americans. Right? They already have this type of health care. You know, President Trump gets COVID. They fly him out on a friggin' helicopter. They give him the best medical coverage. He praises the medical staff. He got socialized medicine. Rudy Giuliani last week, after he got COVID, tweeted out about the hospital and said the staff was fantastic. He got socialized medicine care taken care of. That's all we're asking for.
Well, and get this. They get $175,000 a year, and they get a $30,000 a year furniture budget on top of that. $30,000 for furniture for their offices.
Yeah. That reminds me of an ABC News anchor I knew one time. You know, when back when all that money was flowing through corporate television, you know, ABC, a friend of mine got the job at ABC, and they gave him like a $15,000 furniture budget for his little New York City office. He could go buy any couch he wanted, you know, like Peter Jennings. He could get his couch and his bookshelves and his office. So he could go and read 1 hour of news. That's Congress, $30,000 furniture budget.
That's one of the things I
paid for by you.
Yes, we just bought them furniture. We can't eat food, but you know what? Go out and get that red desk you wanted. That's one of the things I loved about Ron Paul. Every year he returned all that money. He never took it. You know, there are some Congress people or senators that don't take that money. They actually return it because they feel like, well, I mean, that's just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I wonder if Bernie Sanders does too. I mean, it's ridiculous. And, you know, I remember Chuck Schumer was, I think, living with three other members of Congress, and he slept on a cot for years. That's what they did. That's where Chuck Schumer, I don't know if that's changed now that he's, well, but even as he was in a leadership role, he was still sleeping on a cot. That's the way it should be. Caitlin Johnstone had a great piece this morning, and she says this entire revolutionary struggle is ultimately a battle between movement and inertia. See, what she's saying is that this whole Medicare for all argument is that She says proponents of inertia always try to get people hung up on whether or not specific details of the movement are being proposed is exactly perfect in every conceivable way. What does she mean? Not to get all high and mighty with a lot of high and mighty language. I love her writing, but I think sometimes it can go over people's heads. And I think that we lose people in these arguments. So let me just break it down this way. I like to put it in sort of tech terms, like Steve Jobs. His mantra was, you know, great artists ship. What does that mean? That means if you're a great artist and you're just worried about it being perfect, you never ship the painting, right? You never ship the painting because you're just going to sit there and you're going to worry about, is it perfect? Oh, we can't do this because not every piece is right. And his point is, you know what? When we released the first iPhone, we didn't have 3G. We didn't have it was pretty slow. It's not perfect, but great artists ship. And so great members of Congress could demand a floor vote on Medicare for all, even if not all of the pieces are in place. You don't have all of the votes, maybe. But guess what? Maybe when push comes to shove, how many of those people, I think about this in so many different ways because AOC's argument on this is so flat, so wrong. Just imagine you have these 500 members, right? These people need to come down for a vote. And now it's on the floor as a Medicare for all vote. Imagine how many phones would be ringing in those people's offices once they learn that this is up for a vote next Thursday. Medicare for all is up for a vote next Thursday. How many of you watching right now, there's almost 9,000 of you watching our stream right now. Let me know in the chat, since we're live right now, what is it? 9:45 a.m. Eastern time right now. Let me know in the chat. Do you support Medicare for all, universal health care? What would you do if a member of Congress in your district had to go to the floor next week to vote on Medicare for all? Yes or no? Would you call them and tell them to vote for it? Yes or no? See, that's what would happen. There'd be a groundswell. Do you remember a number of years ago? Obviously, you cover technology, David. It was the, what bill was that? The SOPA?
SOPA and bill? PIPA.
Yeah. And what do you, I don't know if you can you tell us what those were off the top of your head? Do you know the derivation of those bills?
Yeah. So it was basically, where they could charge for internet. So Comcast does that now. They can throttle your internet. So they can say, if you don't pay extra, we can say you get this much per month. That was one of the major parts of it. That's the part that people had the biggest problem with, was that they could choose a fast lane for certain websites. And so if Netflix paid, Netflix could have a priority over other things. And everybody argued, well, Comcast has a lot of those same services, so they're probably going to give themselves preferential treatment over the Netflixes and all that stuff.
Right, right. And ultimately, sadly, we lost it, right? But nevertheless, remember the groundswell against it. Mm-hmm. And members of Congress were saying, my phone has never rang so much in my life.
Well, and they had
the groundswell. Remember,
even on the website. So it was The Daily Show. They did this thing. And then what's his name? He was
John
the English.
Stewart?
No, the English guy that came from John Stewart.
Oh, John Oliver.
John Oliver. He did a piece, and the website got nuts. And so they said that it was bots that came in and were making all those statements, like the positive or the negative statements about it. They're like, oh, it's just bots saying that. That's not real people. And so they played it off, and then it passed anyway.
Sadly. But, you know, groundswell support, phones ringing off the hook in congressional offices, if they know that this is going to come up for a vote in a short amount of time. I think Jimmy Dore is absolutely right on this, you know, and I see heartbreaking things like this. Like this morning, one of you, David Baldwin, one of our viewers, sent this to me on Twitter. And this is just an example of the kind of stuff that people are dealing with. David Baldwin sent this to me. He said, Mr. Morris, I watch your show every day, and I thank you for your integrity and news reporting. I know how deeply you care, so I wanted to share this with you. I've attached a picture of a sticky note that an Uber Eats delivery driver left my wife and I. It's heartbreaking. So they ordered Uber Eats. Here is the sticky note. Let me see if I can zoom in on this a little bit. don't know if I can.
Here,
it says,
I can.
Due to COVID-19. Oh, you can? Okay. Due to COVID-19, I lost my work. Please help me to keep this work. Giving me a star in the app, in the Uber Eats app, that will help. If you think that my services deserves it. I'm trying to feed my family in my house during hard times. Thanks. Have a nice day. God bless America. Look at that.
Well, you know, they say...
These people don't have health insurance.
They say never meet your heroes, right? And right. if you should also never look at how your favorite Congress people or senators vote either. Because if you knew how most of them vote, you would not support them.
Never heard that before, but you're absolutely right. And, you know, I get it. And politics is messy. You know, I've covered politics for 20 years, and it's messy when you dive into what goes into some of these bills. You know, it's very easy for people to be painted a certain way. And that's why I think it's so powerful to have like these straight line votes, these up or down votes with a single issue bill. That way we know what's in it. You know, Nancy Pelosi famously saying with Obamacare, like, we'll have to vote for it first to find out what's in the bill. And she's right, because it's like 10,000 pages. And so people don't know what's in the bill, because they don't read it. And there's so many things in this thing. Just like I said with the stimulus bill. I mean, the fact that you have all of this money in there right now hidden in the 525-page bill that bails out defense contractors. They get to stay home, and the government pays their money for them to stay home.
And full wage.
Full wage. And we're calling, by the way, for that to be the same for you. So, you know, paid leave right now. So that's what we're calling for. And yet we can't get it for you, but it's okay when defense contractors get it buried inside of a bill.
And the thing is,
and it's they're already getting billions of dollars.
It's our freaking money. It's our money.
Right.
We can't even get back our own money.
And it's buried in there. They're not going to talk about it. So that's why they cram through these big ass bills, which is why I hope, you know, when if you're joining us late on the stimulus front today, there's some pretty big breaking news on this, which is that direct stimulus checks are going to be included in the stimulus bill. So just a short time ago, and I guess what I'm getting to here on this is Jake Sherman just tweeting a short time ago, and his reporting at Politico has been great. Hill negotiators are on the brink of a $900 billion coronavirus rescue package that would include a new round of direct payments, but would leave out state and local aid and a liability shield. A deal could come as early as this morning. Huge news. That means Bernie Sanders and Josh Hawley won. A little bit. Because we're also learning that it might not be the $1,200 that we'd been hoping for per individual like was passed back in March. Because these guys are too stingy. And I'm looking right at you, Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat, who says that this is not necessary. You know, we don't need stimulus checks to the American people. It's not necessary. Republicans who think it's not necessary. So it's likely to be less than the $1,200. Maybe closer to the $600 that President Trump wants. Who, by the way, wanted it to be more over $2,000 2 weeks ago. But again, they can fund defense contractors, double dip defense contractors, pay them $40 billion a year in a defense budget, and then also pay them paid time leave, paid time off. And we're having to grovel over $1,200 stimulus checks. You know, this is a time for people to rise up. This is a moment. That's why Jimmy Dore is so right on this health care, on this Medicare for All thing. This is a moment. And Caitlin Johnstone saying inertia. People, this is an inertia moment right now. And she says, you know, proponents of inertia always try to get people hung up on whether or not the specific details of the movement being proposed is exactly perfect in every conceivable way. They'll point out that it might not succeed. as though you only get a finite amount of movements you're allowed to make. They'll act like any potential flaw is grounds for remaining inert, as though needing every movement to be flawless is a standard we apply anywhere else in our lives. Look at me. I'm wearing a t-shirt. I'm doing a show in front of thousands of people. Is it perfect? No. There's a light over there that's hanging that I got to fix. Did I not do the show today? Because of that light back there? My hair's a little out of whack today. Did I not do a show? Yesterday, David's internet was down. I didn't have my producer. Did I not do a show? It's never going to be perfect. Call a floor vote. Get them to vote on whether or not they would support Medicare for All. It doesn't have to be perfect. And if the votes aren't there, it shines a light on the cockroaches. And that's how we stomp them out.
And people should be tweeting. Says. People should be calling their senators. People should be, you guys should just be being as loud as you can about this on whatever social media platform or wherever you can to make them see that people want this.
Exactly. You know, I'll have a link in the show description where you can sign a petition and also reach out to your member of Congress, call them, tell them, demand a floor vote in the House of Representatives on Medicare for All. Do it. Take 2 minutes out of your day today to do this. Transform lives in this country. You know, she's an inertia person right here, AOC. Problem with this idea is there isn't enough thought given to step number two. The Dem votes aren't there yet. Oh, so it's not perfect is what you're saying. And it's a razor thin margin with the Dem. So it's razor thin. Okay. So it's not perfect is what you're saying. So you issue threats, hold your vote and lose. Then what? It's not perfect. That's inertia. It's not that those what that that's what the inertiaists think, right? You have inertia right now. We are in a pandemic. There has never been a time like the present to get this pushed through. Watch those insurance companies just crumble. And all of these people right now that have pre-existing conditions or now have COVID and can't get access to medical care because of pre-existing conditions, can't get insurance claims filed because the insurance companies are denying them. They're saying, we don't know when you got sick. Was it on the job? We don't know. We're not going to pay for it. So people that are filing workers' comp claims right now because they were on a job at a meatpacking facility couldn't get, you know, that's how I got sick. I only go to home and the meatpacking facility and I got sick with COVID. Yeah, how do we know you didn't stop at McDonald's and get it there? That's literally what's being told to people right now. And now, and their medical bills are tens of thousands of dollars. This is outrageous. And again, you're not going to see them talking about this on TV. So when you support a channel like this, when you become a channel member and you support independent journalism, you're covering, you know, you're supporting these types of issues. You know, you flip on MSNBC, I flipped on CNN yesterday, no mention of this at all. Nothing. In one of their top shows. MSNBC, the same thing. They're all talking about Pete Buttigieg going to be the first transportation secretary.
Well, and
first openly
and all
gay
the
transportation secretary.
Most of the blue checks are, you know, going after Jimmy. Like Jimmy's the bad guy. The narrative is that the people that are pushing for this are the bad guys. We can't do this. Come on now. You guys just take your take what you give you and just shut up. Go get in your corner.
Yeah, come on, you progressives. You know, I'm a progressive in name only. I'm telling you, true progressives, just quiet down now. Quiet down. Back off. Because Jimmy uses his audience, uses his platform to start a real movement.
That's it. It's really that simple. Now is the time for progressives to exercise their power, play hardball, and use their power for the benefit of their constituents.
Yeah, imagine that. Imagine if they did that. But, and again, I come back to the election, November. Remember, there was all this stink about, wow, Nancy Pelosi, she should lose her leadership position because she lost lots of seats in the House. Remember? Where did that go, right? And guess who won in the House? Progressives won re-election, and progressives won. So new faces in the House are truly progressive. Not this like middle of the road BS. Not these centrist corporate Democrats BS. No, truly progressive. Medicare for, they ran on Medicare for All and they won. And who lost in the House? Who lost to Republicans? Corporate Democrats that continue to vote for foreign wars, that do not support Medicare for All, that continue to support things like fracking and natural and fossil fuels being burned. They look just like Republicans. So when the choice came for them to vote either Republican or a Democrat that looks like a Republican, yeah, we'll just pick the Republican. But you know who won seats? Progressives. Now you have this power. Call her out. So let's push them. I'll have links in the show notes. Let's push them on this. Call them today. Take 2 minutes out of your day and call your representative. Demand that they call for a floor vote of Medicare for All on the floor of the House of Representatives before you vote for Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House. Demand it. And subscribe to our channel while you're there. See this little Santa hat right down here? Little Santa hat? Just click on that. If you click on that, right, Dave, that should make you a subscriber. Click on it and subscribe. The little subscribe button should pop right up. Tickle that little Santa hat. And turn on the little bell notification so you'll be notified as soon as we publish a new video. We have our morning newsletter.
This really is... this is really one of the only times in my life that I can remember where they've had this much leverage that they could use. Like this much leverage. There's a lot of leverage here. So if they don't use it,
With you. I can't recall a time, not even during the Obamacare stuff, because we all knew what was going on behind. You know, I was a news anchor then covering the Obamacare negotiations daily. That was my morning show every morning on the news, covering that in the ins and outs. And it was all just this like one big fat wet kiss for the insurance industry and pharmaceuticals companies, you know? How are pharmaceutical prices going up? I thought we passed Obamacare. Socialized medicine. If anyone tells you Obamacare is socialized medicine, laugh in their face and call them ignorant. And yet during a pandemic, millions are losing their health care. You're right. I mean, David, you're absolutely right. This is a moment right now, right? As we enter this like grimmest part of the year in COVID, 3,000 dead every day in the United States. Massive snowstorm unfolding on the East Coast of the United States. A pandemic. Job loss like we've never seen before. A stock market doing great. Billionaires doing great. What more do you need? I mean, you know, this is like what Malcolm Gladwell writes about in his book, Tipping Point, right? This is a tipping point.
It really is.
Like what we saw with the Black Lives Matter movement. I mean, George Floyd was a tipping point, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is literally time, like, for us to hold, and the thing is, like, this is be the proof, like we did with SOPA and PIPA, we held their feet to the fire and we lost. And the thing is, like, if we do that this time and we lose again, that should tell people exactly what we have in there. We have no one in there for us. Not one single person represents us in this whole body.
Right. Yeah. If you were put in because of this AOC, Ilhan Omar, the squad, Bowman, all of these guys, this is why you were elected, because you ran on these issues. Here's an opportunity for you to throw out the leadership, revolt against this leadership. I mean, heck, front page of Politico, Ocasio-Cortez takes a direct shot at Pelosi and Schumer. Headline. The Progressive Star bluntly stated that we need new leadership in the Democratic Party. She said that today. She said, we need a next generation of younger lawmakers. She says that Pelosi and Schumer should no longer lead Democrats in Congress. I do think we need new leadership in the Democratic Party, she says. The remarks from the freshman congresswoman and superstar of the party's left wing represented her most direct attack yet on Pelosi and Schumer. Schumer, 70 years old, was reelected. Pelosi again positioned to be reelected as speaker in January. They've occupied the past leadership roles for the past 14 years. Oh, Pelosi's 80 years old. I'm sorry. And Steny Hoyer, 81 years old. And this isn't about being ageist. It's about being ruled by corporatists. Pelosi says this will be my last time as Speaker of the House. Oh, you think so? Unless you're voted out. But Ocasio-Cortez also offered criticism of progressives, noting that the left isn't really making a plan. There are folks more conservative than even Pelosi and Schumer who are willing to kind of fill that void in leadership. They don't have a plan. That's the problem. That's the problem with these guys, is that they want to be, they just want to say what they won't vote again, what they won't bring to a vote, or they won't vote, they're not going to vote for this or that. But then they don't put up a plan. So they'll tell us why they can't do something, but then they don't actually put forth a bill to get it done.
You know, I wish somebody like would come out of left field, a Republican like Justin Amash would come out and be like, I'm going to put it on the floor.
Heck yeah, we have, you know, look, Josh Hawley demanding stimulus checks for $1,200, a Republican joining with Bernie Sanders. That should be a progressive joining with Bernie Sanders. But we have a Republican that has to do it?
The President of the United States has said that he is in favor of direct assistance. I thank the majority leader for his own support for direct assistance. The Speaker of the House has said that she is in favor of direct assistance, and that is why there is no reason why this body should leave next week before we vote on and approve direct assistance to working families. Now, let me just say.
And that deadline is in a few days. So by Friday, folks, scrambling right now to get this stimulus package together. That guy's a Republican. Where is the leadership from the progressives? Who's going to come forward and actually grow a pair? It's fine that you want to criticize Pelosi and Schumer. It's fine that you want to tell us what you won't vote for or what you won't put on the floor, but why don't you come up with a plan? I used to hate this. They probably don't do this anymore now because of COVID in schools, but you know, we used to sit at like tables in school growing up. And what's going on here? I hear something. You ever hear like a sound effect? I'm like, what is that? Anyway. We used to sit around a table in school and you'd have to come up with a plan. Like, okay, that table is going to build this project. That table over there with your five classmates are going to build this project. And everyone would just go around and tell us and tell what they wouldn't want to do. I don't want to do that. We did that last time. And I don't want to do that. I don't like green. I don't like this. I don't like, everyone just wants to tell you what they don't want. And it takes somebody at that table to stand up and say, okay, I have an idea. Why don't we try it this way? Let's do it this way. And you're always going to have the naysayers who are going to tell you you can't do something. They're always going to tell you you can't do something. And it just takes that one person, that inertia, to do it without it being perfect to get it done. And we are at this tipping point moment. And I see a lot of you putting up the phone numbers of members of Congress right here on the screen. Do it. I'm going to put it in the show description. Main switchboard, you guys can call. Take 2 minutes out of your day to tell your member of Congress. Call them, light up their switchboard and tell them, leave them a message, send them an email, tell them, send a tweet to them as well that you want Medicare for all. Oh, and by the way, tell them you want direct stimulus checks. If you do want that after all. Just checking to see the very latest on this. And the very latest on the stimulus now, as we're wrapping things up here on the show, multiple people briefed on the negotiations said that the stimulus checks will be included in the deal. It'll be at a lower level than the $1,200 approved in the CARES Act. So the new stimulus bill is coming together. It was basically put together by Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, Chuck Schumer, Steny Hoyer, et cetera, Kevin McCarthy. And it had gotten push from Bernie Sanders on those direct stimulus checks and Josh Hawley. So there will be stimulus checks coming, but less than $1,200. So as soon as we get a framework this afternoon, I will be back here. I will probably go live and do a live show and break down the very latest on the stimulus this afternoon. So please subscribe to our channel and turn on the little bell notification so that as soon as we go live with the breaking news, you'll get an alert and live. So thank you so much for being a part of our great community here at Morning Invest. And by the way, we also have a free newsletter, totally free. And you can actually win some great free stuff, by the way, if you go to morninginvest.com. It's totally free. It's delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. Subscribe and read the news. You get like 5 or 6 news stories that we write first thing in the morning, covering the stories that I think matter to you and your family. So thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. That's going to do it for us on this Wednesday. A lot of big news happening. Thank you for making us a part of your morning. Be safe to all of you that are in that big storm's path, upwards of 2 inches per hour that could fall in many parts. So be safe, everyone. We'll see you back here probably in a few hours at the very latest on the stimulus. Much love to all of you. Take care.